I am Gillian Strain, and welcome to the Go Health Podcast. The podcast is run by the team at the Guild of Health in St. Raphael, which is a charity that's been around for over 100 years, promoting and resourcing the healing ministry of the Christian faith. We're in season 3 of the podcast, where we're exploring the topic, Together We Flourish. And in this season, we are looking at all the positive ways that people can combine health and faith. So we've chosen this topic, Together We Flourish, because it is at the heart of the Go Health community, and indeed all the work of the Guild, because our vision is to see flourishing communities made up of flourishing individuals. And the Go Health community is a place of nurture, of sharing, of learning and practice, where we tend to our own journey towards health and well-being, but do it together with the faith of Jesus Christ at the centre. In this episode, we're exploring this theme of Together We Flourish with Devinder and Matthew Gardner, who are a married couple with a shared passion for health, faith and science. Now, Devinder studied physics at Leicester University and currently works as a clinical scientist in radiotherapy physics at a hospital in the West Midlands. And Matthew, he also studied physics, but at the University of Warwick. He also has an MSc in medical physics, and he is a registered clinical scientist in radiation physics. So I don't think you need any reason to talk to physicists. I'm one myself. Often great chat about life, the universe and everything when you talk to physicists. But the reason we're particularly interested to chat today with Devinder and Matthew is that they co-direct a project called the Faith Experiment, which is a program exploring the interfaith of science and faith, but through the lens of healthcare science. And this is a program they've developed and now deliver to local churches and community groups, examining faith and science and how they fit together. So Matthew and Devinder are super interesting people, and they're doing something real to help people engage with science, but through the lens of what they're experts in, health and healthcare. They bring it all together, faith, health, and as we discovered in the conversation, their own quest for health and healing. And this is what our podcast is all about, to share stories from amazing people that will help us all support our own quest to live well and faithfully. And it was great to chat to Matthew and Devinder about all this. They have some really beautiful insights to share, particularly about how it's okay to doubt. It's a great perspective from scientists. It's okay to doubt. And another perspective, we can use our mind to find God. And finally, that if we follow the questions in our own heart, we can find flourishing. It was a great conversation. I hope you enjoy it. So on with the episode. So Matt and Devinder, thank you so much for agreeing to chat with us today. It's great to have you on the podcast. And you are a married couple. We've never had a couple. We've never had more than one person to chat to as well, married or otherwise. So it's great to have you both on together, and we'll do our best to kind of chat and have a conversation in this way. So I wonder if you could first tell us about your faith journeys as well, just to give a bit of context. I'd be really curious, because you're both scientists, and we'll get on to that a bit later, but about your faith journey, perhaps from your childhood. Have you always been a Christian? Did something happen on your journey to make you turn to Christ? Devinder, do you want to kick us off?
I'm from a Punjabi household, and so culturally the family's Sikh, and I myself sort of oscillated somewhere generally over years between there's possibly something out there to something a bit more atheistic, just kind of oscillated between those two positions. There came a period in my life where I struggled with my mental health. I had to leave university and sort of take some time out. I then met someone who I went into a relationship with who was a Christian. And at that point, you know, I was partway through studying a physics degree. You know, I'd always loved science at school. So one of the first things I did was sort of essentially question him a lot, question the people around him a lot about Christianity and, you know, essentially, you know, how could Christianity be true if we've got things like evolution, or, you know, those sort of classic questions. And what I found was no one could answer that question that well. But despite that, there was something I recognized as missing from my life. So there came a point where, even though I didn't feel those questions had been answered, I made the leap. Well, you know, I say that in that language, you know, God called me beyond that. And, you know, I gave my life to Jesus at that point. And I was like, well, I don't know, but okay. Yeah, I recognize that this is real. And then obviously that relationship, because it wasn't with Matt, it was someone else, and that ended. And I continued. I went to a different church and I continued on the Christian walk. And what really happened was, I guess I compartmentalized my practice, because I went back to university then and continued. That was something actually God told me to do. So I'd gone back to university, I was doing science, and I'd gone into a career which was scientific. And I had my church, I had my faith, and those two were very separate things, which, yeah, then sort of came crashing to a halt when I met you. And I suppose you might want to pick up from
yes,
there.
Yes, that picks us up there, doesn't it? Yes, I guess I was raised in, I guess you'd have called it a culturally Christian household, in the sense of I was christened as a baby and things like that. But it wasn't, church life just wasn't part of my life at all. So I'd say it was very cultural, but not much practice of any Christian faith in my household, in the sense of taking part in worship and attending church and that kind of thing. So I guess it wasn't really something I thought about. I loved science right from when I was a kid. That was because I watched possibly an unhealthy amount of Star Trek when I was very young.
Still does.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not going to go there. It's okay. So
I started studying science a lot through school. It was all my options. It was all I wanted to do. I went to university to do a physics degree off the back of that. I think at that point I was more, I probably would have, if anyone had tried to pin me down and ask me, I probably would have said I was a borderline atheist, agnostic type. I think it's fair to say I held God in some contempt, largely out of the classic arguments around how can science and faith both be true at the same time? You know, I look back at history over things like Galileo and all that, which was actually much more complicated now I've looked into it properly. So I went into work as a healthcare scientist because I wanted to do something with physics that was very applied to, rather than, you know, I loved physics, sort of astronomy and cosmology and things like that, out of interest. But I found when I studied them, I didn't want to pursue a career in them. I wanted to do something a bit more hands-on, or, well, that's the wrong word, but kind of applied, I'd say. And then, yeah, I met Devinder at work, and we entered into a relationship. At this point, I wasn't a Christian, and she was very clear that she was a Christian and it was a part of her life. I think you mentioned it on the first date, didn't you? And then, yeah, I think I wouldn't have said I was a Christian, but I, you know, I wanted to be respectful of Devinder's beliefs and all this kind of thing. So I didn't really challenge it or say anything about it until we started getting closer and I realized I could ask her about it and things like that. And yeah, then I started grilling you on all the classic scientific questions that I had about kind of like, oh, how old do you think the Earth is and all these kind of things, and how do you reconcile these two supposedly opposing views? And yeah, and I think it's fair to say, you don't mind me saying, that you didn't really have answers for a lot of it, did you?
Yeah, for quite a bit of it I didn't. There was some I was able to answer, but yeah, I realised that it was at that point that, yeah, I didn't have the answers to those questions.
Yeah, so then you invited me to go to church with you one Sunday, and again, for me it was more of a, well, it's important to where I'll go to be supportive and this kind of thing, as a one-off just to find out what it's all about and this kind of thing. I think up until that point I'd always assumed that faith wouldn't be intellectually satisfying. The concept in my head was that science is about working it out for yourself and faith is about being told what is and what isn't and accepting that fairly blindly, without much intellectual involvement or even without any kind of evidence. And I found it really interesting the way our pastor does his sermons is a very systematic theology approach, which I found really fascinating, and it kind of made me wish I'd studied like history and literature and things rather than science, because then I might be able to break things down a bit better. So I found that very interesting, and then I was recommended by the pastor at the church we were going to, Lee Strobel's book, The Case for Christ, which I found absolutely life-altering, really, because I went through, it goes through effectively the archaeological and historical evidence of the resurrection, and I think argued something I agree with, that if you can prove or disprove, well, not that, to within a good evidence threshold, that that happened or it didn't, then for me, I could accept and begin in an intellectual way a journey that I could figure out the rest as I went along. So I think that allowed me to kind of take the first step of basically stepping into faith. I'd say is that that's when I felt called, that it was time for me, that my faith could be intellectually challenged, it could be intellectually validated, and it's not something that you do just, you have to just blindly accept. There is very strong evidence for it.
And from there, I think when you gave your life to Jesus, we quite quickly, and it was from a recommendation from our pastor. He said, oh, could you do a session on science and faith? And we thought, okay. And then we did it. We wrote a session and we did it in our church. And then we kind of realized there was more we wanted to say, more that we felt God wanted to say. And there's more questions from the congregation as well. So then we did another one and then did another one. And yeah, and then that became the faith experiment.
It's fascinating. I just want to reflect back a little bit, actually, when you answered my hugely broad question, you'd tell me about your faith journey. You both started, I don't know if you even noticed it yourself, the love of science came up really, really early. And it's quite an interesting phrase, isn't it? Because love is a thing of the emotions and of the heart, and something we might associate more with faith and what we do in church on a Sunday. Do you feel, looking back on your journey of faith, which is mixed in with the day job and all the rest of it, God's presence much earlier, even that you might not have been aware of it?
I think for sure. So certainly for me, if I hadn't have gone through what I've gone through, if I'd have completed university in the time that I had done, I suppose we could have a debate about whether God would still have acted. You know, we're talking hypotheticals, aren't we? But that journey to me becoming a Christian, certainly meeting you, wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And there's things in my life where I think they had to happen the way they did. And so I had to be in that searching place at that time where God called, and that had to happen by being brought a bit lower in my instance. What I find interesting, it's not quite answering your question, but it's just a bit of a segue. When you mentioned about love and science and, you know, love not being more of a faith thing than a science thing, we listened to a talk the other day, didn't we, where, that science isn't necessarily, you know, the things around science aren't necessarily scientific themselves. So, for example, it's important for a scientist to be honest and to have integrity. You know, you don't trust a scientist unless they have those things, but those things themselves aren't scientific. So I think, yeah, sort of splitting science and faith, I think we're coming to understand more and more that there isn't that split, is there?
No, definitely. And I think for me, I definitely felt guided that I almost had to, I think for us to do the project that we're doing now in terms of trying to actively explore science and faith questions, I think I had to go through a bit of a place to basically develop a bit of an antagonism towards faith, so that I would start seriously probing those questions, that these things that for me were for a long time a barrier to my faith, but had to be there to come down for then me to be able to, I guess, reflect on that and grow from it and try and do something for that might help people who are also seeing that science has to be a barrier to faith.
Mm. And I just, can I come back again to your journey, Matt, there? And you described it so clearly and eloquently that you went on a journey with Devinder. You know, let's just go along and see. I like this girl. Let's go to church. And, you know, it's important to her. I'll need to do it anyway. And then you began to question it more. And then you were converted or however, what language you put around it, with a book which was arguing for the evidence of the faith. Now, most people would say that there isn't 100% evidence for the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there's always an uncertainty. And, you know, we've had 2,000 years of diversity of thought and interpretation of those things. In what way do you balance your identification of the evidence of the faith with openness to things that can never be proved or otherwise? How do you balance the faith element of it with the rational element of it?
Obviously, for me, that kind of evidence at the time was a barrier to me ever even looking at faith. So I wouldn't even allow myself to kind of to go there. And I do agree with you that, you know, the book I mentioned, The Case for Christ, I wouldn't say it proves a historical nature of the resurrection, but I think it builds up a really, really strong piece of evidence. And I think science in a lot of ways, and I think in particularly in our field in healthcare science, which isn't a, I guess you wouldn't call it a pure academic subject, you know, a lot of the time when we're trying to make scientific decisions, and a big part of our professional practice is about more, I guess, of a detective story of kind of weighing up evidence from different sources, and more trying to reach a kind of reasoned conclusion than kind of depending on absolute proof, which I'm not sure is ever going to be there, because I think that almost would, you know, would there be faith if there was absolute proof? It wouldn't necessarily even leave that much room. So yes, I think I was definitely looking for something, because I knew my whole life I wanted to do something that was beneficial with my career, which, you know, even at the time I struggled with the concept of, in a purely scientific outlook where I'm a biological organism looking out for my own interests, why would I even have such a strong sense that I've got to try and do something helpful with my life, that those kind of questions were there, but I just tried to kind of close them off. So yeah, so I think that, yeah, that reaching that kind of evidence threshold for me allowed me to kind of open my mind and then my heart a bit more to start exploring what my faith actually was, and this thing that I've basically been suppressing for a long time. And that I found that really helpful, because, again, because I am very intellectually minded, and I, you know, I still work on evidence, but yeah, I almost needed that. So it's more of bringing down a barrier than actively saying my faith depends on this evidence. It just removed a barrier more than proving anything for me.
And actually, I think that's a really beautiful image, evidence threshold, that allowed you, like almost like on the, like in a computer game, onto the next level and to explore something else. Because often I feel, what evidence do you use to back up your faith, or to be an apologist for the faith, is really personal as well. I remember when I was studying, met lots of, you know, theological students a bit like me, who were very excited about the evidence, archaeological evidence and so on. And while I could read the papers, for me, it didn't really help, because there was always a doubt or error bars or something in the evidence. I remember going on the radio to argue, it didn't work very well, argue with an atheist. They got us on to argue with one another because they thought they'd identified the the star in the east that guided the wise men. And they expected me to go, oh, it's amazing, you know, that all. And I was like, no, it doesn't really prove much, actually. And the radio guy was like, oh, this is useless. She's agreeing with the atheist and all of this. Devinder, I was curious that, you know, your experience of mental health problems was part of your faith journey, a journey that helped you reconcile science and faith in God. I wonder if you could say any more. You used the term brought low, whether that's something about vulnerability to a relationship with Christ that was important for you that I'm not hearing in Matt's journey. Is this something you'd share with us on the Go Health podcast?
Yeah, so I think a lot of this has kind of been things I've sort of realised in retrospect. I think I was in adolescence quite depressed. I had problems with my body image and eating and those sorts of things. And essentially, it all got to a point where I wasn't really doing the day-to-day thing. So that's a massive problem if you're trying to progress at university, if you're not turning up to lectures and, you know, so on and so forth. So I think what had to happen, though, was there had to be, yeah, I think I was always quite a strong-minded character, and I think probably my parents certainly could attest to that, you know, as a teenager. It sounds like a bit of a paradox to be someone who felt that low, but also be strong-minded, but there you go. And I remember, because I was chatting with someone who was talking to me about God when I was a teenager. And, you know, I just was fairly pithily, I thought, bouncing off the arguments and sort of going, well, you know, I don't think that because, you know, there's this evidence and so on and so forth. And I think in particular, the whole thing with when I was searching and sort of still trying to employ those intellectual arguments and finding they were falling short, I had to be in a place where those intellectual arguments and my reliance on them wasn't going to be enough anymore. So there had to be, I guess, a humility, and maybe God's way with me was to have to strip me back so that there was nothing else. There was nothing else in my life that I could lie back on or rely on, no sort of self-security, whether part of my nature just needed to be really hammered out. We know God does that. He knocks off edges, and perhaps with me, he just needed to knock off a little more. And I suppose it's ultimately, that sounds quite depressing that I had to get to a bad place, but I look back on it now and I know in my heart that was the journey I needed to be on.
You can see it in retrospect almost.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's given what God's given me through that is empathy and sort of an understanding with where people might come from. So although it was a bad time, it's given me a lot from God that sort of take with me now, that, you know, the stuff that I got from that time that I take forward and use. And so I am perfectly okay with how it happened.
Oh, right. So bring us up to date on your day job. You've mentioned you're both scientists. Matt, you've mentioned I wrote it down, applied science to make the world a better place. Tell us about your day jobs.
So we're both healthcare scientists. We work in medical physics, both of us in NHS hospitals, although we're in different hospitals at the minute. So I work mostly in radiation safety and imaging. So I do things like help design radiotherapy treatment rooms so that they're designed in such a way to contain the radiation that's used to treat cancer, but we also need to protect the people who are walking around the department and working in the department, so I input into the design of those. I help track patient x-ray doses, so when people have an x-ray in a hospital, they get a small dose of radiation, so part of my job is to kind of analyze databases of all those radiation doses to try and keep an eye on them and make sure that we're operating at a level that we expect to in terms of radiation dose, because you know, we want to try and get the benefits of radiation, but we don't want to harm people unnecessarily as a result of that. And yeah, I also work on a few educational projects, so I was involved fairly recently with Health Education England helping to write a curriculum for the NHS scientist training program. And I've worked in technical qualifications in healthcare science as well, working on kind of curricula and exams.
Thanks, Matt. Devinder?
For me, I do four days a week in the hospital setting. So I work in radiotherapy, and what that involves in my job is I help plan patient treatments. So if a patient comes in for radiotherapy, what we want to do is give radiation to their tumour, which will help kill cancer. But what we want to do also is maintain a good quality of life for them afterwards. So we would try and be careful about the amount of radiation that was given to vital organs. So we typically use patient images and use those to plan their treatment such that their tumour can get the radiation and their organs, as best as we can, have a minimal amount of radiation for their treatment. I also do quality control on the radiotherapy machines. So that's essentially making sure they're giving out the amount of radiation we think they are. We can't have them giving out too much. That might cause harm. Too little equally will cause harm because you're not killing the cancer. Been quite busy the last couple of weeks because we've been setting up a new, more complex type of treatment. So we managed to start that in the last couple of weeks. So quite exciting in the sense of there being a new technology that we're using at our hospital that will help, hopefully, with better outcomes for patients.
But as Christians, and what we would say at the Go Health podcast is a key part of the faith is offering healing. Now, it seems to me your day job, you are both hugely working in healing. Applied science, yes, but you're healing. What awareness? Do you go into work saying, got this scientific problem, or got this to do, must do this? Do you have an awareness you're involved in healing as part of a bigger team when you do it, or is it very much a day job and getting on with it?
I try and be more mindful of it because it's a great way to bring faith into my work. And so I think it's something that perhaps I want to forget, you know, just doing the day-to-day stuff. But I think there's a real joy in the sense in remembering that connection. So, yeah, I do try and think about that more.
So in my role, a lot of what I do actually goes on in the background. So it's very rare that I actually kind of directly encounter patients. I'm mostly involved, I guess you'd call it kind of quality control type things. But there was the thing that happened is a few years ago now that got me really excited, particularly about my faith at work. Which was I was involved in trying to do quality control on an ultraviolet therapy cabinet, which is it's basically like a big sunbed. It's used to treat patients who've got psoriasis by using ultraviolet light. And the nurses were asking me that, you know, you come and do these tests once a month. What if the machine breaks down or something goes wrong in the middle of the month? And we might not know about it for 2 weeks, say, and we're treating patients with the wrong doses that whole time and we don't even know. So they were asking if I could kind of work out roughly how long different treatments should take. But it got quite complicated because the brightness of the lamps isn't always consistent. So I took some measurements using a polystyrene patient, which was great fun to carry around the hospital. I've got some weird looks for that one. And I managed to get a graph, which I did some A-level maths and I did some integration under the graph. I've got an equation which allowed me to work out if you want to give this dose, it should take this amount of time, and made a grid, which they then stuck in the room so the nurses could say that if we're going to give this dose, it should take this amount of time. If it takes too long or not long enough, we know something's gone wrong straight away. And what I loved about it was that we'd taken a physical measurement, put it into a mathematical world, if you like, which, you know, if you're getting philosophical about it, that doesn't even exist really in some ideas of philosophy. Did some equations, put it back into the real world and did something that benefited people that I never even met because I wasn't directly involved in the therapies. And I love that God had given us the gift of science to be able to do that, that we could not only have the intellect and curiosity to understand the world and have kind of mathematical ideas about it, but then that we can also do that to kind of help people, which I think is, as Christians, is a very big part of our calling, and that we should be involved in things that are of service to other people. It was one of the first things that I actually kind of just started praying in work. I was just so excited about it.
I can hear the excitement still. What happened to the polystyrene person?
It's still in a cupboard in the hospital somewhere.
It's really interesting because it's so many people think science is just could be done by a robot. It doesn't need to be done by humans because it's entirely logical. But what's so fascinating, if you get into science and know any scientists, is that our humanity is at the heart of it, isn't it? Whether it's through wanting to care for someone or using your experience to inspire. And one of my friends is Tom McLeish, who is a senior physicist and also a reader in the Church of England. He had a book out recently about the use of intuition in scientific discoveries. And he went around and he chatted to heaps of scientists, top level scientists, and said, you know, where did you have your aha moment? You know, when did it suddenly click and you made movement forward in science? And he said to me, the amount of people that had that moment, that aha moment, either getting out of the shower or getting off a bus, you know, or moments when you weren't thinking about something else, there's something was happening at the subconscious level. And that for me is an interesting place, because that's where we connect to the world around us. And what is happening, what is that flow of information or flow of knowledge that's happening within us? And for me, that's where scientists, Christians can be really involved with science, which is, you know, of course, a progression of knowledge of God's world, as we would say it is, right? So tell us, I'd love to link more into the Faith and Science Project. We've mentioned it a couple of times. The Faith and Science Project is a project sponsored by ECLAS, which is Equipping Christian Leaders in an Age of Science. It's sponsored by Durham University, which is also and sponsored also by Templeton, as part of the Scientists and Congregations arm of the project. So tell us how you came up with Faith Experiment, what it is, and how it's going.
So essentially, what we wanted to do with the Faith Experiment was do accessible apologetics. So the topics we cover aren't particularly groundbreaking. They're the sort of the general points of contention that a lot of Christians will be familiar with. So what about the dinosaurs, evolution, what's the soul, topics like that. But what we try and do is we make it accessible for anyone, regardless of their scientific background. So whether they've studied it at any point at school or, you know, beyond. So a lot of our workshops are very interactive and we sort of pitch them at sort of youth upwards. We generally set the scene first and sort of teach the topic we're about to discuss. So in the case of our session on evolution, we talk a little bit about, we play a game on what evolution is. We do a natural selection game and sort of play it out and see what happens. And we use that then, once that knowledge is there for our audience, to then talk a little further about the science faith question that surrounds it. And yeah, so we ended up with 7 interactive workshops on different topics. Also, what we found as well is that there's a way to kind of bring our experience, our profession into it. So we spend a bit of time just sort of talking about how through the lens of our profession, we might see these questions as well. And ultimately, what we want to do is 2 things. Firstly, for Christians to kind of affirm them and educate them, because basically, no matter what your scientific background, a lot of the time you're going to be facing questions like this about, you know, science and faith. So it's nice to be able to have an answer to them. And for skeptics as well, just to perhaps open hearts and minds there, to show that those barriers aren't there, to show that one can be a scientist and a person of faith.
It started out as just something that we were asked to do in our church, just to bring a science and faith to the faith service. Before we knew it, we had 7 of them. We were just doing it in our church. We were really fortunate to get some funding from our regional Baptist Association, HEBA, which is the Heart of England Baptist Association. And also, as you've mentioned, we got some funding from ECLAS, which is basically allowing us now to try and take this out into the wider church for others who might find it helpful to try and explore these issues in a really kind of fun, interactive, accessible way. And like I say, we are going over ground of which, you know, there are many really brilliant books and lectures covering these areas. But we wanted to try and bring a lens more for someone that might not have much scientific background themselves. And also we wanted to try and, or we started to bring in some of our own kind of healthcare science experience to try and ground some of these questions in ways that people might not have thought of. So for instance, you know, when we're talking about evolution, you know, we're now all familiar with the idea of COVID variants and this kind of thing. So we can start to use that knowledge from healthcare that a lot of people have started to develop because of the COVID pandemic, and then see how that applies to these questions, which are important to quite a lot of people or are a barrier to faith in a lot of ways.
And how's it going? How's the rollout going? What kind of feedback are you getting from people who've been part of the course?
Yeah, so we are looking for churches to host us ongoing. So if anyone thinks that this could be of interest to them, do get in touch. The people that we've managed to work with already, we've had some really good feedback, haven't we?
Some really encouraging things. I think an event we did in near Birmingham recently, I was chatting to a man afterwards who it was great. What I really loved about what he told me is he said it reignited his passion for science, because he said as a young man he was very interested in science and everything it could tell us about the world. But as he started to be presented with challenges in his faith, almost kind of had to put science to one side, or, you know, was concerned about, if I study too much science, is it going to undermine my faith? And am I going to start to have kind of doubts that might take me away from my faith? And we were really encouraged that, you know, he said that it reignited that passion for science, but also that, you know, he'd been looking for fairly simple ways that he could put these concepts across for decades of his life. So that was a really encouraging conversation.
And I know a couple of people who've had it. I mean, there's one lady I've talked to where she's just said, I hated science at school. And so she kind of got through what she had to do at school and, you know, just carried on with her life. And she said that program helped her like science, or kind of gave her a bit more of an interest in science. And this is a lady who's a Christian, so it was nice to kind of see things that way, that actually she felt more positive about science. And I know there was another one I'd spoken to where she'd always claimed that she wasn't particularly academic, but that she felt sort of really buoyed up by the fact that she'd managed to grasp concepts and take something away from the workshops.
Yeah, and I think we had a really good bit of encouragement from someone who is themselves a scientist, they're a professor, who kind of encouraged us by saying that they felt that we'd taken the science faith discussion kind of out of Oxbridge lecture theatres, where it's been happening for a very long time, and we've put it into local churches, which makes it much more accessible to a lot of people who might not go to a lecture, essentially, but might be interested in a kind of interactive workshop taking place in their local church.
I love the stories. I love the stories coming out of it, because these are what I think really matters. Because it's not like you're helping people, let them connect to science this week and maybe connect to geography or history or French or whatever next. When you're getting people to connect their faith to science, you're helping them connect to the sphere of human knowledge that best articulates our knowledge of the world that God made. And when that relationship's been broken, whether it's through poor teaching at school or some kind of self-limiting, I wonder the extent to which people are actually isolated from themselves as well. If they're not able to, if they're fearful of engaging with science, if they're worried about it, then actually what you're doing is helping people to engage with the world as part of a healing journey, I would say. That's the word I would put on it. I'd do that, because my job is always to spot where the healing's happening. But just listening to your story, listening to your personal stories, listening to what you're doing through this faith in science project is deeply healing work for people that encounter you. Do you feel it or see it like that? Or does anything ever you know, when you're leading, what's the atmosphere like? Is there a moment where you can feel people going, you know, ting, I get it, or I've moved on, or I thought this was just going to be, you know, having to learn equations, and it's not, it's something deeper. Are you having those kind of emotional experiences on the course too?
I think so. I think we did a day, well, sort of half a day quite recently, where we just invited people in the local area to come in and, you know, sit through a couple of the workshops. And I think straight away you could see that, because one of the first questions we ask is just, what are your problems? You know, with science and faith coming together, and we get that conversation to happen straight away. And I think getting that to happen early doors was really good for that room, wasn't it? Because I think people who hadn't really met one another, because they're coming from different places, were able to have fairly deep conversations with one another about, you know, things like, well, yeah, what about things like vaccine suffering? You know, they're able to put it out there. Where I see the healing personally, and I wouldn't say we're the only people that do this, by the way, but there's lots of other really fantastic projects that do this as well, is it's just creating that safe space to have the discussion. I often wonder about whether people might be scared to bring up certain questions in the church setting. Maybe they might think they've been a bad Christian in asking it, or perhaps they think it's a stupid question. And what we would love to do and love to continue to do, and along with others, is just create the safe space to kind of be like, well, actually, what are your questions? I think in particular with young people, it's really important. We know that it's something like 3 in 4 people who've been brought up in the faith will lose their faith upon going to university. And I think if there's anything we can do before any of us to help really provide that those foundations to their faith. I think we should be doing it, and I think that would be a real healing work if it could be done, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
I love your description there of creating spaces for people to ask questions, because that's, I mean, that's what it's all about. All aspects of church and theology and faith should be that. We should be unafraid of any questions because people have them anyway. And it's a weak religion or theological position that can't deal with these kind of things. And people being able to feel safe allows them to be more open to what's going on. And if they see you, and I think just you as individuals and as a couple, and taking your healthcare stuff as well into these conversations is really, really important, because there are lots of courses out there and books you can buy on the science and religion dialogue. But to be standing up there as scientists of faith is itself, I mean, I'm sure you say great stuff. You almost don't have to say anything, because like you're doing it in yourselves, aren't you? And that is a great kind of, because in some ways I wonder if you could even think of science itself as a healing occupation. It's a endeavor to understand the world around us, and we've been broken from the Creator God through the fall, right? And science is a way to investigate the world around us. Again, I'm going to quote him again because he's in my mind a lot at the moment, Professor Tom McLeish. If you go to the ECLAS website, I did it just before we came on to do this interview. This quotation comes up straight away. This is it. When we do science, says Tom, we participate in the healing work of the Creator. So the activity of investigating the world we live in helps us to heal from our brokenness with God, which suddenly makes it huge, doesn't it, as well? This common task we have to understand the world around us and help us to be reconciled with ourselves and with God. So we're coming to the end of it. I'm so grateful for your time. I'm so grateful for you sharing your personal stories. I'm sitting here thanking God for your work. I pray that the Faith and Science Project gets to as many people as possible. We'll certainly share it in our networks as well. I thank God for both of your witnesses and the work that you're involved in, both your day job and your other bits and bobs that you're involved in. This season on the podcast, our topic is Together We Flourish. And I wonder if you can leave behind, as we finish this podcast, maybe a top tip each, maybe. I don't know. Or you can do them together. I don't know. We've never had a couple before. How somebody listening today, how could they flourish a bit more in their faith and in their life?
I think something that I've come across quite a lot recently, because people have mentioned it to me on courses we've been on, and our pastor has preached on this quite a lot recently, is about how it's within our faith. I think it's okay to doubt sometimes. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if you look at the Bible, there are plenty of people who doubted at times. And that I think by having these questions around science, which I think people are worried it will make them doubt, that actually when you go there and you explore it and you ask those questions, your faith can deepen as a result of that. Because, you know, as you mentioned, when we do science, we understand God better because we're studying his creation and learning more about what's there and the wonderful levels and intricacy that there are there. So I think that, yeah, I'd say it's okay to doubt and it's okay to question, because when we explore those things, we learn more and we grow. We become better able to then help others who might also be struggling with the same kind of doubts around, I think for us, particularly around science, but there are plenty of other areas.
And mine follows on quite well from yours. The scripture tells us to love God with all our heart, but it also tells us to love God with all our mind. And so, yeah, I would say to anyone that to just follow the questions that they have, whatever field they're in, whether it be science or otherwise, to find, you know, a good friend, good Christian friend who they can talk through those questions with, explore, or find resources that will help them with that question, to not be scared of the scary questions
I love, yeah, they both meld together, but both beautifully articulated. One of our courses we run at the Guild is the Everyday Healing course, and where we're helping people learn about how they can be a healer in the world today. And one of the final sessions is on discernment, and we point people to the value of their own curiosity. So often we look back on our own spiritual journeys and what we've done with our lives. It starts with curiosity in an area. I think you just both in your tips of flourishing backed up being not being afraid to be curious and ask the questions. So thank you, Matt. Thank you, Devinder, so much for giving us your time on the Go Health podcast.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So that was my conversation with Devinder and Matthew. Thank you so much for listening. What did you think? And we'd love to know what you thought of the podcast. Of course, this podcast is freely available to all. It's our gift to the world. But we like to pick up the conversation over in the Go Health community. If the themes of today's conversation have resonated with you, why not share it with somebody? Somebody who you think would enjoy the episode. Perhaps that scientist you know who's on the edge of faith, or that teenager who's exploring how to think about the world they're growing up in. And please do remember to rate and subscribe. Why not share it on your social media streams? We want as many people as possible to experience these conversations and connect into our vision to help flourishing in the world. Because together we flourish.
our vision.